This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSFAM.com, AVSFAM.com.
Let's say that you were trying to find ways to get suspended for four games, and you're a player who has a bit of a history. What would you do? Maybe a cup check, maybe spear somebody, maybe kick somebody. Those things would definitely do it. They might even get you more games. But you know what, guy, Gabriel Landeskog suspended for four games? A cross check to the head of Tkachuk. Now, here's the thing. I want to back up Landy as much as I can, and I don't think that he intentionally did this. I think that he was cross-checking a dude, but he was looking away on the one that actually caught him in the head and the neck, and he was basically trying to see where the play was going, but he was going to get that last shot in. So, not really malicious. I don't think that Landy would do that. I think Landy would sooner drop the gloves and throw fists at this guy's face than hit him in the head with the stick, but it did happen, and it's really hard to defend this one. I think that the suspension is heavy. I think it probably should have been just maybe a couple of games, and I think that Tkachuk would have absolutely done it to him had he had the opportunity as well. But Landy did it, and Landy has to own it. And as leader of this team, he has to tell his guys, hey, I really messed up. I shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. Nobody should do this. And now he gets to sit for four games. But I'm here to tell you that might be a good thing. Now understand, I'm not saying that I wish this would happen. I'm saying it did happen. And the bright side of this is that Landy won't be there. The true North won't be there. The guy who is the identity of this team and is trying to impress that on other people won't be there. But here's a chance for us to run a little experiment. What happens when you kick the cord? What happens when the leader's not there to do his leader thing? Who's going to step up? Who's going to play better? Who's going to fill the void? Who's going to find out that they were better than they thought they were? Well, with Landeskog not on the ice, a roster spot opens up, and that was filled by Tyson Jost, who was coming back. He's just coming back, he's playing good hockey, and he might be a leader one day, but in this case, he's not the answer. We need a guy who is performing, a guy who's putting points on the board, but a guy who's making other players better than they would be without him on the ice. So tell me this, how many players do we have with more than 8 goals? We have one player with more than 8 goals. His name is Gabriel Landeskog, but he's not playing. So now tell me, how many players do we have with 8 goals? I'm sure you think Nathan MacKinnon, right? You're right on that one. But then there's Alexander Kerfoot, and this is the guy that has really impressed me, the guy that I think has stepped up with the kind of leadership that maybe isn't so vocal, but it's the kind that is effort. It's the kind that is getting in the corner. Is this the kind where you're not as big as another guy, but you're going to go and battle with them anyways? And in this last game against Winnipeg, Kerfoot had more than one exposure to Byfuglien, and he fought him the whole way. I'm not saying he won. He gives up like 100 pounds to the dude, but he was in there with him. That's infectious. That's the kind of thing that you want to see, and that's the kind of thing that maybe doesn't happen until your leader is off the ice. And keep in mind, Kerfoot wasn't some guy who we drafted. It wasn't some guy we traded for. We picked him up as a free agent out of college when nobody else wanted him. I think at this moment, we should probably stop and say thank you, Joe Sakic, for picking up Alexander Kerfoot. This guy is winning on all levels right now, and I think that he's going to be consistent. He may have his ups and downs, but I don't think he's going to be too streaky. I think he's going to be a guy that we can count on. That is exactly what we need, and that's the kind of leadership that you need when you're vocal captain, when your captain who is your true north isn't out on the ice. You need a guy like this who can just play the way you're supposed to play, set the tone, and put some points on the board, something tangible. So to put a bow on this ugly pig that is the Gabriel Landeskog suspension, I think that the suspension is fair. Not the term of the suspension, but I think that he should have probably been suspended for what happened. I'm thinking one game. I am not thinking as many games as it was. One, Tkachuk got up and he played. He wasn't really that hurt, and that absolutely factors in. But another one is that Gabriel Landeskog's history isn't really something that can be looked at and say, yes, he's a malicious player. He's a guy who's out there to kill people. His hit on Brad Marchand shouldn't have even been a penalty. He didn't hit him in the head. He's a little dude. He caught him in the shoulder, and Brad Marchand whacked his own head on his own shoulder. Go back and look at it if you want. That's the way that I saw it, and I think that was a complete and total bullshit suspension as well. And we move on. Anytime that you hear this sound, we're bouncing around a little bit. Try to keep up. In the last podcast, I laid out this idea that the Colorado Avalanche have 5 home games. They have 10 points on the board, and I believe that they should get 8 of them, or at least 6. And then they went and lost to a middle-of-the-road team in the Calgary Flames and set themselves back from the get-go. This is what that disappointment sounded like. So let's be honest, the Avs just didn't show up. They didn't play a good game. They didn't have their legs, as they like to say. and they'd come off of a back-to-back game when they played the Flames. You know what? All excuses. These guys are young. These guys are in shape. These guys should be performing every night. Most of their mistakes have nothing to do with being fatigued physically. It's a mental thing, and I think that they're going to get over it, but let's keep in mind, this is a rebuilding team. This isn't a team that was great. They were last in the league last year, and they're getting way better, but they're going to have these off nights. For me, it's all about how they respond. I say that all the time, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about now. After a crappy game against the Flames, we took on the Winnipeg Jets, a team that is not in the middle of the pack, a team that is very good, and a team that probably has every right in the world to beat us. And we showed up flat. We didn't show up awesome. And in full disclosure, I missed the first period, so maybe there was awesomeness there I haven't seen yet. But from the second period on, what I saw was a team that was not really clicking. Some passes that weren't really working, or when they were working, it was way overpassed on a power play where we could probably take a shot every now and then. That guy in the nosebleed seats at the Pepsi can, who always screams, "Shoot it!" He's right. He's not wrong in this case. We should absolutely shoot it. And I saw many of you saying the same thing on Twitter. Shoot the fucking puck already. It baffles me as to why we do so much of the same thing on every single power play. Let's back it up a little bit. Let's say that we have the puck behind our own net and we're on the power play. We need to leave our zone and enter the neutral zone and then the offensive zone. How are we going to go about doing that? What are our options? What are other teams expecting us to do? Well, that's where it gets a little bit crappy, actually. Girard sits behind the net. He looks around for a little bit. A couple guys circle back, one of them being Nathan MacKinnon. Two guys take up out of the zone. Girard starts to make his move. The defenders start to back up, and Nathan MacKinnon is hiding behind the play. It's not really hiding because everybody knows he's going to be there. It's on every tape in the world. We go up to our own blue line. Maybe we pass it. We get close to that red line, and then we drop it back. We don't even look. We just drop it back because somewhere back there is Mac, and he's going to grab it. He's going to be fast. And what we want him to do is take the zone and get a pass off to maybe a defenseman while the defensemen are moving with Mac because he can push him back so fast with the speed. That's all fine and well. This is a great play, but you can't do it every damn time. You can't have the same play all the time because that's what they're looking for. Have a play similar, but have a little plot twist in there. Do something they're not expecting because we're having a hard time taking the zone, getting control, and getting the play going. And when we do, guess what we do with that? We get in the zone and we pass it obsessively without ever taking a real shot. We have a lot of playmakers, but nobody wants to pull the trigger and score the goal. Why? I honestly don't know. I mean, maybe we have the wrong players out there. Maybe what we're putting on the ice isn't what we should be doing. We often have Kerfoot out there, sometimes with Girard, sometimes with Barry. That's three guys who are really good passers. They could all be quarterbacks on the play. So who do we have out there who's the sniper? Who's taking the damn shot? Is it Rantanen? Well, if he was on the half wall where he should probably be, maybe. He can make passes from there, but he can also put the puck on net. Take your eyes off of him. He'll slide out to the dot and get ready for a one-timer that beats almost every goalie in the league almost every single time. But we're not doing that. Rantanen's way close inside as some sort of a pivot player. Okay, well, who else is out there? MacKinnon. Well, the thing about MacKinnon is he is pass first as it is right now. Now, true, he scored in overtime. I know, spoiler, but you've seen the game already. So when he's out there, he's not really taking the shot either. He's looking to make that play in front of the net. He wants to do a saucer pass over a couple sticks and hit somebody on the back door. Sometimes it's Rantanen, sometimes it's not. Here's my thing. We don't need three quarterbacks and two guys hesitant to shoot the puck and one of them out of position. Here's what I think we need. And again, I'm super qualified, trust me. How about this? We put two quarterbacks out there at one time. We have one guy who is on the half wall, who is passing the puck around or could take a shot, and then we have another guy who is set up for one-timers on the dot. Think the Iggy area. All that's fine and well, and it's not too far off of what we have. It just needs to be refined a little bit. But here's the kicker. I think we take more shots than we do passes, and we set up our game so that we can recover the puck. We have five guys, they have four. If we hustle, we can get to the puck first. I think that all too often we get on the power play and everybody slows it down. It's time to get pretty. It's time to make the pretty passes. Maybe not. Maybe this is a good time to out hustle them. Maybe this is a good time to get a bunch of shots on net, recover the puck, and keep getting shots on net. That sounds like a plan to me because the one we have right now doesn't have us very high in the league right now as far as power play percentage. I say all that to say this, our power play is not good and it's not going to win us games. So when we don't show up ready to play and we don't show up ready to out-hustle the other team, especially a team like Winnipeg that's bigger than us, we're in a deficit right away. We had Riley in net who let in a goal that he probably should have had, but he played pretty good hockey and kept us in it. What didn't happen is we didn't have the fire and we didn't have the drive and we didn't have the hunger. We just kind of hung in the game. But then something totally unexpected happened, something that I wouldn't have expected and nobody on the ice did. Here's how that went. Nikita Zadorov, Big Z if you're nasty. Not known as a sniper, this isn't a guy who's known for his scoring, although he's put a couple in the net all of a sudden. But here's what happened. He gets the puck and he's clearing the zone. And what he notices is that everybody thinks he's just gonna dump it, and as soon as he does, they're gonna get their guys off the ice too. Both teams are looking to make that change. So Big Z, to his credit, notices, hey, they're giving me a ton of room. I think I'll take a couple more steps. Now, understand that a Z step is basically going to get you to the next line. So he passes the red line, and suddenly he's at the blue line. And these guys are like, whoa, I don't think he's just dumping this in. How about I step up on him and see if I can't knock the big guy down and get that puck from him? Zadorov makes a tiny little move and then puts the puck on net and scores a goal. It was an awesome goal. I'm not saying he could do it every single game, but this is a goal that we needed and one that really got the Avs moving again and back in the game. And by back in the game, I mean it was tied again.
2-2 with 8 minutes left.
No, you should go back and watch that goal, but even more important, pay attention to his celebration. We call it the Z celebration or the Zelly. Yeah, we coined that, we claimed that, we hashtagged that. Zelly's a thing. The music changed because the mood changed. Suddenly the Avs were all over the place. They were playing like, hey, we want to win this damn game. Mac got a little hop in his step. People are starting to take shots and they're playing good hockey. I'm not saying they weren't giving up chances, but they were playing damn good hockey like, hey, we want to win this game. And they almost did a couple of different times, but this one found its way into overtime where I was certain that the Avs were going to kick ass because they had an extra guy. Instead of a 3-on-3, it was a 4-on-3. No problem. We got this, right? We got a lot of ice. We got a lot of players with a lot of skill. We're going to go out there and we're going to kill it. So that's kind of what we did, but here's what really happened. We have the zone and Nathan MacKinnon has a shot. He passes it, he gives it back, but then he has the shot again off of a nice little backhand from Kerfoot. You know what he does? He puts it on net and guess what happens? It goes off somebody's skate and into the Winnipeg net. We win the game. Game over. Or is it? Nope, suddenly there's a challenge for offside. Why? Because the NHL is crazy with their offside shit. They challenge it and sure enough, Barry was offside. Just as sure as Landy should have got a suspension, Barry was offsides and that was a good call. Now I was certain this was going to make the Avs fold right there, right? I mean, they're kind of fragile already. They were just hanging in here on this. It would have been easy to say, hey, we had a good effort tonight, guys. We tried. But no, that's not what they did at all. After that goal was called off, the Avs found themselves still in that zone, passing the puck around, and Nathan MacKinnon got the chance to shoot again off of a really awesome backhand, this time by Kerfoot, and guess what he did? He bounced about the same guy's ass into the net. I don't care how they go in, folks. If they go off somebody's ass, you should get extra points for that. Bank shots should count for two. And just like that, we win a game that we had no business winning. We beat a team that we shouldn't have beat, and we lost to a team that we probably should have beat. We played down to the level of another team where we didn't show up, and then we beat another team in a game that we honestly stole. Regardless, we found a way to win with our captain out, and we had a couple guys step up who should have stepped up. Alexander Kerfoot was the baseline, the guy that was consistent, was making other players better. Nathan MacKinnon put it on the net when he was supposed to, and Big Z scored a timely goal when we absolutely needed it to tie this game and to give us all the energy we needed. And just like that, we got 2 points. So now what? What are the Avs going to do next? Are they going to show up for the next game? Who knows? Are they going to play good hockey from here on out? Who knows? Are they going to get the 8 points that I thought they would in the next 5 games? I don't think so. I think 6 is reasonable, and I think that they might be able to pull it off, but the Avs have to buy into the system. And I don't say that very often because I'm not a system kind of guy, but if there's one thing that's consistent right now, it's the coach. Bednar is not messing around. He is sending guys down when they need to be sent down. He'll send them down for conditioning, and he will sit you on the edge of that bench if you make a boneheaded play during a game. He's not messing around at all. He's not friends like Patrick Waugh was with players. He's a guy who's there to get performance, and he's going to do it whether you like him or not. And I have to say I like him more for it at this point than I have in the past because the players are starting to respond. Bednar is not above messages being sent, and he is a tough love kind of coach. You basically get what you put in. If you don't perform, he's going to sit you. If you don't perform for a couple games, he's going to bench you and scratch you out of the game. And if you don't perform a lot, he'll send you back down to the AHL to figure out what's wrong with your game and see if you deserve to come back or not. With the exception of one guy, I don't get the Barbario thing. I'm not mad at him. I just don't see how he's earned his spot. But what do I know? I'm no NHL coach or anything. All I know is that the Avs won a game and we needed that game, and hopefully we can put a couple of them together and try to get ourselves at least to the top of the middle of the pack so that when the time comes, we can make a real push for the playoffs. When we have players who are gelling better together, a system that's working better together, a captain that isn't suspended, and hopefully a goalie that catches fire and does not let that puck anywhere near the net. It's dreamy, but hey, we got to dream big if we want to go big, and I think that this is the opportunity for the Avs to impress themselves and everybody else in the league with getting better before they thought they would be better. I will say this though, the team could be coming together and gelling well, and then we could see a guy traded because he's playing well. The Avs have some guys who have UFAs coming up and some guys who really other teams might be interested in a way that allows us to continue to build for the future. Think Como, think Soderberg, think the guys who are actually the backbone of this team right now and who play good enough for us to stay in games when our top players don't always play good. It would suck to not have them on the team, but it would also suck to let them walk away without getting some sort of pick in the next draft. I don't know about you, but I'm excited for the future, and that's more than I could say last year at all. This is going to be awesome, people. Thanks to all you who send in comments, whether they're good or bad. I appreciate them all. You're awesome. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. Right now, AvsFam is reinventing the AvsFam for the win game, or the you can't win this game. The two people have now won in about a week's time. Go to AvsFam, check out the shirts, check out the contests, and see if there isn't something for you. absfam.com. Stay awesome.